Hey, all, this is Anthony Leone from Silk Nine, and you're listening to Ludini's Rock and Roll Circus.
You are listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, where we are changing rock history one podcast at a time. Hey, everyone, Lou Lombardi back at you, a.k.a. Ludini, and we have a great show for you guys today. We've got Anthony Leone from Silk Nine. Silk Nine has been a favorite of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus for a few years now. We started playing the track off of their first album about 2 years ago when we discovered who these guys were, and we were just absolutely floored and blown away. And I believe the track that we were playing, let me scroll through my notes real quick and see if I can find it. It's off their first album, and oh, there we are. I think we were jamming, I can't remember right now what track we were jamming, but we really loved it. It was off their first album, and it was a good one, and the great hard rock sound that you know and I know and we all love, and that is what we're all about here at the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. So we got Silk Nine's Anthony Leone here in a second, but first I want to let you guys know that you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We have our website at LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. And I want you guys to check that out because there's a lot of great interviews there, and our music podcast, which goes live every week on Facebook with my co-host Lily V6 and my co-host Keith Hawkins, Keith the Hawk Hawkins, and where we pick a cool topic and we have a lot of fun and we bust each other's chops over it, and you guys can chime in live, and it's just like a big party. We're drinking, it's a good time. So it's every Monday night on Facebook. So friend me and you can find out all about that. And one more thing, if you like some behind the scenes stuff, if you want to get in on, you know, hard rock and how it's made and what's going on, and some interesting bands and stuff that you're not hearing everywhere, I have my own private group. It is the Lou Lombardi's Inner Circle. You can go to loulombardimusic.com/innercircle, and you can hang out with me as I work on new riffs for a new album and show you guys some very cool new bands that you probably don't know anything about, some exclusive interviews, things like that. So you can go to loulombardimusic.com/innercircle and you can hang out with me there. All right, guys, we have been telling you guys about Silk Nine for a couple of years. When Kevin and I started the music podcast, it was probably one of the first bands that we played, a Pittsburgh-based hard rock band. It was founded in April of 2013 by Anthony Leone. And the vision was to embrace the essence of the 90s rock sound, but add a more contemporary, modern, hard rock spin to it. And the great band, and they've got a new EP out, and all kind of great stuff happening. I just was at their CD release, and it was an event. It was a real event, and a lot of fun. So, Anthony, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. How are you?
I'm fine, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. It's great to have you on, finally, after all these years.
It's great to be on, finally.
So tell me, let's go ahead, because, see, not everybody who plays guitar, and Anthony, you know this, because we know a lot of people play guitar, not everybody who plays guitar is like writing songs and putting out albums and working with record labels and doing CD releases. So obviously at some point you got bit by the bug in a bad way. So take us back to the beginning and tell us how and why you really became so passionate about music.
Well, it's funny. I started playing, guitar when I was 7 years old. I got an acoustic guitar and, strummed away and learned all my first position chords and, started, playing the Beatles and, things like that. And I did it for a couple years, and then, I kind of lost interest. Until one day I was over a friend's house, and I hear all this loud live music, and I said, "Well, let's go see what that is." And they said, "No, don't bother them." I'm like, "I'm gonna go over and check this out," So I end up, going over, and I'm peeking my nose in, and I knock on the door, and guys kind of turn around. I remember like it was yesterday. One of the guys is standing there holding a Gibson Flying V, and I'm like, "Oh my God, look at that!" There's a big drum set and bass microphones. I'm just like, wow, I just walked into heaven, So the guy's really cool, and I don't even remember the name of the band, but I do remember the one guy, the guitar player, and I'll circle up on how I still know him. But anyway, so I go in, And yeah, they were really nice. They're like, you know, this was the first time I ever saw like an electric guitar like right there in front of me. Mm. You know, obviously seen them in pictures, but there's so guys like, hey, you want to hold this? And by that time, I had kind of lost. You know, I knew a few chords. Well, that started it all over again. You know, I left there and I went home and said, Ma, I need an electric guitar. She said, no way. You know. And I said, no, I said, really? I said, these guys are down in the basement. They're playing. They're playing these songs. And I said, you know, they're playing right. It's just, it's great, you know. Like, and so I ended up didn't get, you know, I got an electric guitar. And I just, from that point on, it's just been, you know, downhill, you know, as I got better. You know, I got in bands and you know, then, you know, much, much later started writing songs. And then, you know, then I was introduced to my first tube amp.
Oh boy!
So, and then I just fell over. I'm like, oh my gosh!
So when you first started playing electric guitar, like what, like riffs? What was out there? What were you, you know? Because it's what we all did. There were guys who you were trying to emulate or who are heroes. So what were the sort of guitarists who were sort of floating around at that time that you were like really into?
Well, funny, the first that night with those guys. The first thing I learned was they showed me what a power chord was.
Oh, just, wow.
I played folk guitar. You know, it was like, you know, all the big chords, you know,
right,
acoustic chords.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, then they showed D5, C5, mm-hmm. You know. I'm like, wow, this with and a distortion pedal.
Oh,
so Smoke on the Water was the first song I played on electric guitar.
Of course. You know, guitar players rise to manhood, yes.
Right? You know, so that kind of this started everything. And then, you know, as that progressed, obviously I'm a huge George Lynch fan. And I remember, I remember hearing, maybe it was Breaking the Chains or something mm-hmm. like that. And then I'm like, man, who's that guitar player? You know, and that was, you know, then I started really following Lynch. And later on, I really started to listen to how he played and how he phrased things and how he did these little bursts, but always kept things melodic.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I kind of, you know, molded my thing where, you know, I seen all these guys that could play so fast, that could shred, sweep arpeggios. I mean, they were just, and that just to me, that wasn't for me. Like I play hard. I'm what I call a hammer fist. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it was more kind of when you know Ace Frehley blended in with little George Lynch, maybe a little Vito Bratta. You know, all you know Warren DeMartini, like all the guys that they were quick and stuff. They played fast, but they always what I call tagged up. Where they, you know, they'd come back to the melody or get that one sweet note and just vibrato the heck out of it. And,
yeah.
You know, just make you want to cry, you know, that's how I kind of wanted to mold my guitar sound and my playing is around melody, things like that.
How did Silk Nine come about? Cause we have two, cause the band formed and then you've had some lineup changes. So how did that band initially get started?
Well, it's odd. Exit the Pain was never supposed to be a band. That album was going to be just just me, you know, my name on it, and just release some songs. The idea was I was going to, you know, write a few songs, get together with other local musicians, have some guest appearances, and release it on my own. Well, I don't know I can't remember exactly how it went about or what song it was, but I remember that, you know, obviously Jamie Rohr was playing with me at the time, you know, who became the first singer of Silk Nine. And I said, hey, you know, what do you think about this track? You know, Doug Carnahan is going to do this track and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he said, I'll do this. And, you know, it slowly started to build. In the meantime, you know, I had, my first gig with Silk Nine down with Lou Hetzer to Dead Horse. We opened for Tough, and I just grabbed some guys and said, hey, man, you guys want to do an opening show, 45-minute set. We'll play 8 or 10 tunes and, you know, just go have some fun.
Right.
So that's how it did. So that first night, I remember, you know, I had wristbands and stickers and, you know, merched out on our first gig out there. And, you know, everybody's like, man, this is awfully odd for a cover band. Well, it was never going to end up that way. I knew that that's how I had to get this thing going. I had to get that name out there. And we ended up getting like, you know, 75 people slammed into that Dead Horse Cantina.
Cool.
Everybody left with something that said, you know, our name on it. I had shirts, like I said, wristband stickers, whatever. And so everybody left with that. And I just kept promoting the heck out of it. And then as time went on, Jamie came aboard. And we, you know, we turned it into an original project. And this is all going on while we're recording. And then I called him one day and I said, listen, man, this is, it's really going well. I would like you to do the rest of the songs on this EP. Doug will guest on the one. And, you know, what do you think about, you know, making this thing a band name? Well, let's release this under Silk Nine. And, you know, there was like this big delay on the phone. And he's like, yeah, man. He goes, I think we should do that. I think we should give this a, I think we should give this a shot. You know,
yeah,
and so yeah, we did. I mean, we that's how we, you know, we released that first EP under the name. It was, it's never supposed to be that way, but it turned out that it ended up, you know, good that we did. You know, and as far as the lineup changes going, you know, that's kind of where this whole name came about.
Yeah,
you know, Silk Nine is an oxymoron. It's about putting things together that don't exactly fit or may not fit at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you think, you know, the idea of silk being something, you know, smooth and soft, and, you know, the idea behind the nine was, you know, a gun, you know, like a nine on your side, something like that. And it kind of went after, you know, almost like the Velvet Revolver thing,
yes.
You know, was in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think I told you that. So that's kind of, you know, and the reason I did it is because I knew there would be different members down the road, you know. A marriage is hard to keep together with two people. To keep four guys together,
right.
Which what I knew would be a very long journey as an original band,
yeah.
Was virtually impossible, because, you know, and every artist, every musician deserves to be paid for their work. I get it. But it's very hard to provide that to someone.
Right.
When you know as well as I do that it's, you know, there's, it's funny because I just watched Hired Gun.
Oh, yeah.
And to see what money that they don't make blows me away.
Yeah.
Cause here I'm thinking, man, if I can get, you know, if we could ever get to that level, then would you, no, you're, it doesn't matter what level you're at. There's a lot of guys at that level that still have a second job or,
painting,
you know,
houses. Just
painting houses. Right. Hey, go down and get, if you need money, go down and deliver pizzas. Like, yeah. That was crazy to me. So, you know, it's hard. So as you go on, you know, I keep trying to explain to people that, you know, what little money we make has to, and Jamie and I had a good relationship with this as far as we called Silk Nine our baby. Mm-hmm. So anything that we made, we, you know, just like your baby, you take care of the baby first.
Right.
You know? And that's how we were able to do the things that we wanted to do, get the money for recording, you know, buy the merch, get set up, put together a good budget each year for, you know, advertisement, merchandise, know how many shows we needed to do. So it was all, I mean, it was all pretty calculated as to what we wanted to do, how we were going to do it, what we needed to make for each show to keep the baby rolling and not have to pull money out of our pockets. Right. And that's one thing I'm very, very proud of. You know, anybody that's recorded with this band, as I've never asked anybody for money, because we've been able to stand on our own 2 feet by having a good a business plan together each year on what we're going to do, what we have to do, you know, what our overheads are and how we want to, you know, go about it so that we can do what we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very smart. And I attribute that to the failure of a lot of bands because they don't understand that. And they're, you know, you know, they're blowing everything and then they wonder why they can't make it work. So it does take that sort of attitude and that, you know, business mindset to say, you know, this is what we have to do. I mean, in any business that you have, you do have that period of, you know, well, you know, what we do, we take the money, we reinvest, we keep reinvesting until we get to the point where we can take a draw on it. But in the beginning, that's how it works. Now you have a new, let's talk about the new lineup and then I want to jam out the new single. So who's in the band now? And let's talk a little bit about the new record.
Sure. So Scotty Boyd came on as a lead vocalist. Very well-known guy, great voice. I mean, it just, we had a great, he's a great partner to write with. I had a great experience with Jamie. Never thought that I would be able to fill those shoes. And what I mean, yeah, by that writing partner, it's very hard to sit down and write with someone. I've had a hard
Scotty
time
playing with before.
I know that his current project is country, which is,
okay,
you know, kind of odd. It's not anything like Silk Nine. But I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, back in the day, I mean, years and years ago, he was in a band called Whiskey High.
Okay, that's where I knew him. That's where I know
okay.
him from. I yeah. kept on looking at him at the show. I'm like, I know this guy. He's, I absolutely freaking know him. Yeah, because my band in the 90s, did shows with Whiskey High all the time. And Scott, I'm like, okay, all right, I got it together. Sorry, guys. We digress. We're having a little Pittsburgh rock moment here. So just talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
But. Yeah, absolutely. it was great. You know, when I called Scott, it was great that he wanted to jump on. He was interested in writing material with me, and Retribution turned out great, obviously. And we had a really good time writing that together. On drums, Justin Walker came on. He adds just a great dynamic. And it's funny how we do things. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but when Justin gets a song or an idea, it's basically a guitar and a melody over a click track. I'll tell him what the tempo is. He sets his click track, but then from there, he creates the dynamic, whether he wants, the drums to speed up, slow down, stop. Like, he creates that dynamic, and I give him full rein, and I trust what he's going to do. Charlie Dog Hughes, very well known in the area, playing with a lot of other bands, and he plays out all the time. So coming to do an original thing was, it was great that he, I've been working on Charlie for quite some time. I knew he was the guy, because in a one guitar player band, you really need a guy that has a huge, huge bass tone.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you heard the other night.
Yep.
It's pretty big.
Yes.
And it takes such a big weight off my shoulders to have to fill gaps and things when you have a guy like that. So, when we were writing Retribution, he would come over, we would sit down, and I'd let him hear the guitar. He would start, tinkering around, and just, an hour later, we had a pretty solid bass line down that we were happy with. The lineup, Charlie, Justin, Scott, and myself has created this Retribution that, we're pretty stoked about.
All right, and I'm stoked about it too. I'm gonna go ahead. We're gonna crank up the new single right now. This is guys, check this out. This is so freaking good. This whole record is absolutely fan-freaking-tastic. So I encourage you to get it. But this is Shattered and Stained, new single from Silk Nine and the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Okay, that's massive sounding, just great. Tell us about the recording process, who you worked with, Mike Ofka at Innovation Studios. Tell us a little bit about that. And also, you can jump in and give us a little a bit about John Marchuka of RFL, your record label.
Sure, well, let's start off with that, because if you just heard the single and you love the single and you're wondering, where can I get this at? I really want to get this into my iTunes library or into my collection. Any of the digital download sites, anywhere have it, Spotify, all of them. But if you want a physical copy, you can email me at silk9rocks@gmail.com and I will send you a copy. Or you can go on the RFL Records website, which is simply www.rflrecords.com. Go to Silk9 Merchandise, the drop down, and then just click on the CD and it'll be at your doorstep. So to answer your question, you know, John Marchuka,
is the person. I said it wrong. Sorry.
No, I've been saying it like you did, since I met John until the CD release party. He said Marchuka, and I went, huh? He said, I'm like, what's a Marchuka? He goes, my name is pronounced Marchuka. I'm like, we've been together almost 2 years. I've been calling you John Marchuka, and now all of a sudden, you know, you correct me. You had 2 years to correct me. You picked tonight, but that's okay.
All right. It's good.
So, all right, what was your question again?
Go ahead and talk about the making of the record and your relationship with John and Mike.
Cool. So I met John. I saw, I think, a post on Facebook or something about, you know, him starting an indie label, looking for bands, things like that. So I just, you know, I reached out to him, and he said, hey, let's meet and talk. So we sat down, we met. He had printed out some, you know, some Silk 9 stuff that, you know, he was looking at. Told me he really liked Exit the Paint. He said that, you know, he'd like to see if we could work out a deal to release a new album under RFL Records. And I said, okay. So we got that, you know, I'm going to go quickly through that because that's boring stuff. So okay. We get to Innovation Studios. So we are starting to record the drum tracks for Retribution. And I think the first song we did was Knife in My Back. And John had come down, you know, a few hours into it. And, you know, he introduced him to Mike Ofka at Innovation Studios in Steubenville. You know, I consider Mike our fifth member because I work with him all through Exit the Pain. We had a really good baseline of what we want this band to sound like. And just all we did was from Exit the Pain, the Retribution, was put it on steroids. Yeah. You know, we wanted to take it and put it on steroids. And I think he, you know, he did a really good job at that. So John came in, and you know, he finally got to hear things start to come together. He started to see the layers, and you know, he's hearing the drums go down live over top of the guitar, and you know, I could just see his eyes were, you know, just getting big, you know. And I said, "Hey, boss," I said, "What do you think?" He said, "I think it sounds amazing." So, you know, he went on his way and he lets us do our thing. And, you know, once we get all the drums, I think it was 2 days, we lay down all the drum tracks. And then I take that all home with me. All the drum tracks I take home and I start layering my guitar tracks down. Because, you know, I put a rough guitar track down. You know, Justin hears things differently. He might want to add an accent here or there that I don't have in there. And it's funny because that song Shattered and Stained, there's a really cool snare fill right towards the end that I do this thing on guitar where it's just, you know, it's almost like a two octave thing where I do this big stretch from my first finger to my pinky, and all I do is just follow that snare And it just, to me, for a guitar player, just added this little extra, you know?
Right, right.
If it was there or not, it probably wouldn't have mattered. But to me, I'm like, ah, I like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just adding those little nuances. Just built, we had the foundation, now we're just adding nuances and layering things and making them sound big. So once I've got that all done, you know, I send that to Charlie, and he listens, and then he stops over my house, and, you know, in my little studio, and then we lay down the bass, and then I take all those guitar tracks, all those bass tracks, with all those drum tracks, we go back down to Mike Innovation, and Scotty comes in the evenings, and we start working our vocals out. And those sessions are really great because, you know, it's nice to lead, you know, I'll never say it's not, but to sit back and kind of let Mike Ofka take the reins, which, and I always give him, everybody asks me how a relationship is, like, he gets final say in a lot of things. There's things that I say, no, I don't like that, and he'll tell me straight up, this is what it needs to be, and I trust him enough to, you know,
yeah,
pick my battles,
right?
You know, because I trust him, and it's, for me, that's a huge, huge, huge thing, you know, having trust in someone to, you know, take a part of what you're doing and you know, look out for you and make it
right,
the best.
Right, make it the
you
best.
Because a lot of the times, you know, as well as I do, you know, when you're writing songs, you have a thought of what it should be, and you get so caught up in what it should be, you don't think about what it could be, and sometimes that could be is that little bit that makes it takes over the top.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Makes it something really special. Oh, so, yes. Okay, so, Anthony, why don't you go ahead then and tell us, the Retribution is out, it's rocking hard. What does the next 6 to 12 months look like for Silk Nine? What's coming up?
Well, it's funny because I just did an interview last night and they asked me the same thing. And, you know, because of such a, you know, a big success at our CD release party, it was well received. RFL has gotten us, you know, some really good promotion. They have a really good PR guy helping us out. You know, our next step is, you know, they're looking at to get us, you know, up and down that East Coast somehow, some way. You know, whether it's a 3 or 4 day mini tour, whether it's, you know, a week. We don't know yet. It's something I know that is being worked on. So as soon as I know, how about I let you know?
Okay. Yeah. Let us know because we want to, you know, see what's going on. Is there, is there any more music, in the works at the moment?
Actually, yes. It's full. Boy, you're digging in. See, I don't answer this unless someone asks and no one else asks. So yeah. We have already done pre-production on a new single, and I've gotten it to Mike. Mike really likes the song. Justin has laid down drums. We have our first pre-production vocal evening with Scott and I, so we've got like 90% of the lyrics done. And I think it's – Mike sent me a text back. All it said was, I really, really like this song. And I know when he gets excited about something that, you know, we got another one coming. And it may not be as, you know, it's going to be more on the lines of, say, you remember the first album. I don't know if you remember the song Tears on the first album.
Yeah, that's the one I think Kevin and I were playing.
Okay, well, it's going to be more on the lines of that because, you know, a lot of people told me that Retribution seemed very dark, comparing it to Exit the Pain, which it may have been, you know, or may have been. A lot happened during that album for me personally, so I might have been in that place, and you know, Scott may have kind of jumped on and just kind of fueled that fire.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome. I mean, rock and darkness have been. I mean, we can go back to Black Sabbath.
Yeah,
for that, you know, so that's the tradition.
How could you go wrong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, but this one is going to be kind of the exclamation point on, you know. I think it's going to be a great follow-up to Retribution.
Awesome.
I think it could have been on, you know, that EP.
Mm.
You know, I came down here one morning and sat down, and I just started playing this riff, and then I came up with this melody, and I thought, man, that's not bad, you know. So I shot it off to Scott, and Scott was like, I'll be over tonight. I said, okay. So I put like a rough arrangement together, and he came over. And we just started, again, just like I explained how we do things, we just started building it. And by the end of the night, I looked at him. I said, man, I really like this. I think it's going to be a heck of a tune. I said, we just got to just keep, you know, tweaking it.
So why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can keep up with everything you guys have going on the internet?
Well, I'm going to lead you to two places. I love everybody to go like our page on Facebook. You know, it's www.facebook.com/Silk9Rises. And once you get to that page, you'll see all the time I'm always posting about clicking the link to go to our concert announcement page. And why I do that is, you know, I used to create events on Facebook all the time. And Facebook, as you know, cut you off. So it's like we couldn't invite everybody.
Right.
So this was, I thought, the next best step. If we can get everybody to like our page and then become members, which I have it private and closed. When you get into that Silk 9 concert announcement page, you know, it's just a closed group. You know, we talk about what we do. If we have a new bundle that we want to put out in merchandise, we put it on there first for about 5 to 7 days at a discounted price before it hits the RFL record site. So we try to give everybody on that concert announcement page a chance to, you know, hear new stuff, see new stuff, buy new stuff, and just know where we're at first, tickets, VIP, all that from there first. And the funny thing is we're only able to sell 5 outside of that because it was sold out in 2 days.
Yeah.
Wow. So, which was really great for, I mean, you know, it felt really good to have such a great response from everyone.
That is, you're doing so many things right. We're going to talk about that. We're going to do a little post thing when we're done. I always have a little bit of post interview thing that I share only with people on my list and stuff like that. So I want to get into that a little bit later. But Anthony, thank you so much, man, for hanging out. We want people to check you out on Facebook at Silk9Rises. And your website is silk9.com. And we'll go ahead and plug RFL Records, too, because share the love a little bit. RFLRecords.com, a lot of great hard rock there, and we're all about that here. So check those guys out. But silk9.com is the official website. And Anthony wants you to check out Silk9Rises, facebook.com/Silk9Rises. Anthony, thank you so much for hanging out with me, buddy. You got a minute to hang out while I finish up the podcast?
Absolutely.
All right, very cool. All right, guys, you have been listening to Anthony Leone from Silk 9, a great hard rock band, as you heard. We put the proof is in the pudding, and I think you guys could check that out right there. Once again, their website is silk9.com. Let's just keep this rock alive. Listen, guys, it's very important that you share the podcasts around. The reason why I'm always harping on you guys to share is because if you love this music, that means probably some of your friends, a lot of your friends are probably going to like it. And so this is a great way to kind of get the word out about these bands. And people love the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, think back to the old Behind the Music show on VH1. People love to know what's going on. They love the inside scoop. So share it around. If it's a band or a genre that you are interested in, share it with your friends. Let them know about it because we're all tired of the whining. You know the whining. There's no good music out there. Yes, there is. It's all out there. You're listening to it right now. Let your friends know about it. All right, guys, thanks a lot. All right, guys, you haven't listened to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. That website is ludinirockandrollcircus.com. And one more time, if you guys are interested in getting some behind-the-scenes stuff, some deeper things, you want to follow me along as I work on my new record and work on shows and tracks like that, plus be introduced to very cool hard rock bands and stuff that you're not hearing anywhere else, please go to loulombardimusic.com/innercircle, and it's all self-explanatory there. Guys, it's just been really fun. This is what I live for. Is this great rock and roll, and I'm so happy that Anthony was able to get on today and we're able to do this thing. Check him out one more time at silk9.com. Guys, remember, no matter where you are, I don't care if you're north side, south side, Cranberry, wherever you are, just remember, you are the revolution. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.com. We'll catch you on the next podcast.